2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Good morning, everybody. This is your DFS Army Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. And I am your host for today, the one, the only Boomer's Daddy, and my co-host, joining me from the dead, Chapo Dong. What's up, buddy?
From the dead?
Well, I mean, this weekend we were all kind of dead. You know, and okay, yeah, maybe not you. From the dead, but from the rising from the ashes like the phoenix.
I don't know. I like that better.
Yeah, we'll do that one. What's up, man?
Not much. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. It's a Tuesday in the neighborhood. We got 15 games today. We got a lot of fun things to talk about. I know there was a topic that you wanted to kind of bring up a little bit that we were kind of chit-chatting about. And it's... do we call it a monster or do we call it a Goonie?
Clarify, please.
The variance bitch.
Oh, you lost me in the first 60 seconds. I've never heard that parallel drawn. That's funny. Yeah, variance is a bitch, but to be honest with you, you can make it your bitch.
Okay.
It's not baseball's weird. We all know that. But what I was trying to explain it for those that you know want a little bit more detail on it, I put a video out on Twitter and whatnot. I'm trying to get into where I give a little bit of lessons, a little bit of tips. Stuff, you know, when it enters my mind, I'm a pretty batshit crazy guy, and when I'm wandering around the house, you know, thoughts jump into my head, and if I don't put them down on paper or put them on a video or something as quickly as I can, I'll forget them and never bring them up again. But the variance thing is something that a bunch of guys struggle with, and they're used to, you know, us over at the DFSArmy.com and the Domination Station Optimizer and all that stuff, just really, just being automatic when it comes to NBA, and they're used to football because they know football, and the guys that are just trying to start with baseball are starting to see, we're getting a month in, they're starting to see variance and the roller coaster go up and down, up and down, up and down. And they're starting to get frustrated. And so what I'm trying to, I guess, draw the picture of for people is let's think about this. What's an elite OBP in baseball? I mean, you know the answer to that, right?
Like, are we talking like elite, or are we talking like Hall of Fame elite?
What's the benchmark? What's your benchmark?
My benchmark is about 850, 900.
Not OPS.
Oh, OBP?
Just straight on base.
390?
Okay. I call it 400 for a round number. And there are very few people that are above a 400 for a long stretch of time, a year, 2 years, career, whatever. Point is, what is that, 40% of the time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm playing a game where I'm elite, if I'm reaching base via a walk, hit by pitch, any of the weird crap, if I'm reaching base 40% of the time and I'm considered elite, seriously, dudes. I mean, we're going to put eight guys on our roster that don't even have that 40% mark and expect these guys to go off every night? No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean,
it's very difficult.
We've talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
Not only do you have the OBP, but we're talking about a sport where a Hall of Fame type hitter fails 7 out of 10 times
over the course
of his career.
I think people get that, but they don't really get that.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's like because we all expect Tom Brady to throw for 4 touchdowns a game, and we all expect, you know, LeBron James to do LeBron James stuff. And now we got this stud of the industry in a Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, even a Joey Votto, something like that. We expect these guys to do it night in and night out. And we're like, what the hell when they don't? Well, and then you've got these other guys in decreasing salaries that are worse and worse talented players for a reason. And we're rostering these guys around them to make it all fit under a salary cap. And yeah, we see our buddies and we see Twitter and we see everything else getting lit up with, look at this score. Look at this score. I did great. I did great. I did great. Yeah. But you don't hear from that guy for another 2 weeks. You know why? Because he sucked. Everybody brags about when they win. And if that's all you're looking at and all you're focused on, you're catching people at their peaks of variance when you follow Twitter and you follow everything else. You're catching them when they're riding high. What you don't see is all of us that are riding low. Even in the Army, we have 600 members or so. You'll see a few guys a night. Yeah, I did awesome. Woohoo, thanks. That was awesome. And we've got a lot of guys that are doing really, really well. I don't want to take anything away from that. But they, in a week or two, are going to fall off and go silent, and a new crop of guys are going to get hot. The idea is to understand that, embrace that, and then the trick in baseball, in my opinion, and this is me, the freaking chalk-eating fool, to get away from some of the heavy, heavy cash play, spread yourself out a little bit, and do some more GPP-type stuff. Maybe not the big lotto ticket GPPs, but some bigger stuff, because if I'm having trouble cashing 60% of the time to beat the house rake in a 50-50, I need upside, because if I'm going to go 3, 4, 5 slates in a row without cashing on a routine basis, I need to get paid when I finally hit. And I can't do that in a double up.
No.
I'm not going to hit the double up often. Now, I'm not saying don't play double ups. I'm saying get away from the little bit. Get into something with some more uptight. Leagues, 10-man, 20-man, 100-man leagues, smaller GPPs, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,000 people, and then maybe even a small portion towards the massive lottery ticket in case you go off. But you're going to build, say, 3 lineups instead of just one.
And that's one of the reasons why I like the either the 5-entry max or the, you know, the 3-entry max in baseball, is because now I'm on it. You know, no matter what my talent is, I can embrace the variance of baseball, and I'm on the same playing field, even the single entries. I'm on the same playing field as everybody else. And I know we've kind of talked about this, you know, with me pulling a little bit of double duty. I have yet, you know, I've had a good day here and a good day there, but I've yet to get hot. And like, I mean, you could probably attest for this. I've got good plays, you know. But I've yet to put them all in the same lineup. And you can attest to this from last year. When I get hot, I get hot. And I get smoking for about 2 weeks. And then for the next 4 weeks, I might cash like once a week. But that's I'll go baseball. On two-week heaters where I can't miss. And what it is – I think one of the things that helps people is that's one of the reasons why we developed the DFSA grade is, you know, having instead of a projection, having an arbitrary number that helps define matchups.
That's another thing that people maybe don't know about that are not in the DFS Army. That's a lineup tool that you've created that has a lot of weights and measures to it that gives the player an overall grade for the night and allows you to compare not only position by position, but within the lineup, you know, Bryce Harper versus Ryan Zimmerman versus Jason Wirth, whatever, as well as comparing to other outfielders and first basemen. It's a really slick tool, and it's picked up on a lot of good plays so far. Sorry, everybody, that's VIP only.
You know, it had, I believe it was Alex Avila, was the top catcher of the night last night. You know, I talked about this to our VIP members yesterday. You know, I know Corey Dickerson is a left on left versus Wei Chen. You know, he didn't have, you know, a monster game. He wasn't the top outfielder by any stretch of the imagination. But he was 1.2% owned, and people would just gloss over him. Well, what they don't understand is, one, the Marlins have zero lefties in the bullpen. Okay. Two, he's actually hit lefties pretty well this year. And that's something that you don't pick up on unless you're really, really watching it. And I think one of the benefits to having the DFS Army membership and the DFS A grades is the fact that you can, yeah, it doesn't account in, you know, stolen bases. I think stolen bases are, since they're so rare, we can point out where we should target them. You know, Al did a good job yesterday with Billy Hamilton.
Yeah, he did.
You know, we kind of talked about it last Friday with the Arizona Diamondbacks. You know, they're running. They get on base, they run. I think the first two games of the series, I think they had like 10 stolen bases against the Rockies over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one because Dustin Garneau was in the lineup both times.
Have you ever looked at a Paul Goldschmidt and see him go 1-for-4 with a walk? I know. He'll go 1-for-4 with a walk, and maybe that hit was a double, no RBI, no runs scored, and you look at his score on FanDuel and it's like 24, and you're like, how the hell did he just do that?
Well, he picked up two stolen bases. Exactly.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful thing to see, because you're like, that's why that dude's so consistent. He swipes bases too.
Exactly. You know, and it goes back to, you know, bankroll management, smoothing out the variance. Like I said, I like the 3-entry, the 5-entry maxes, where you don't have to play, you're on the same playing field. But guys, also don't be afraid to, you know, to give you an example, and I didn't do it yesterday, but I had 10 lineups in the FanDuel queue. I've been chasing that kind of hard, not playing a lot of anything else, which is dumb by me, but I haven't been. Mainly because I haven't had time, and these baseball tournaments are filling really, really quickly on FanDuel right now. But, you know, if you have, like, I had five Clayton Kershaw lineups last night. I should have had one giant stack on the other side, and I didn't. And that was my fault. But if you're in these, you know, 3-entry max, find the chalkiest pitcher. If you're going, I'm going to throw a name out there today. If tonight you're going 10 lineups with Chris Sale and you're building 15 lineups, throw in a Baltimore Orioles stack. Just one. Mm-hmm. That's all you can do is just one. But that way, if Chris Sale blows up, you're going to have a 1% stack.
You know where I'd put the, you know where I would put the Orioles stack? If it was me, I'd put. If it was me, I'd put it in a single entry tourney.
Yeah, exactly, and that's another good point. Is, you know, everybody's like with these single entry tournaments, oh, I want my best, you know, option in the lineup. No, don't.
That's where contrarian owns the world.
Exactly. Put in the longest, not the longest shot. It's still got to have, like, meaning into it.
No, but know where the chalk is and stack against it and put it in there, because that's where your chalk's going to be the heaviest.
Yeah, you know, the first couple weeks, the chalk was going off. You had the Cubs going off. There was a lot of chalk going off the first couple weeks. And I was getting my butt just handed to me. The next couple weeks, you know, I started to kind of migrate to things a little bit and, you know, adjust, and I adjusted too late. Now I'm not getting my butt handed to me quite as much. I'm still putting up good scores, but since I'm only playing in queues, I'm not getting any return right now. But you know, it's just kind of one of those things that I realize the variance of baseball, and it's still just as frustrating to me as it is to every single one of our members, because I consider baseball one of my most profitable sports. And it's because of, you know, a cumulative full month long in days pays for the rest of my season.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's baseball,
but I might only have a week here, you know, mm-hmm. like in May, I might only have 1 week. And in June, I might have like 4 days. and in July I might have six, you know, but all I need is give me 5 days out of the month where I will tell people smash and I will show you profit at the end of the season. And a lot of it has to do with bankroll management.
Absolutely. And that's why I preach it. And that's why we all preach it inside the Army. But for me, I tell people, I've told several people one-on-one in group and everything, that last year I showed four negative months to start the season. Yeah, I'd win a day or win a whatever a little bit, but my overall profit loss for the month was negative in April, May, June, July. That will rip your soul out in baseball. You just get sick of losing. You just get beat down. But because of bankroll management, and because, you know, I just love the game and started saying, well, shit, I guess it's just a hobby. It's cheaper than going to the ball game and buying three beers. And, you know, I mean, all the crap that we all say. But I just stuck with it and was like, I know my foundation is correct. My fundamentals are there. I'm just missing two players here, two players there every night. And it's making the difference. And then August hit and boom. Everything swung around.
This is coming and from a guy that hates playing in August, by the way, guys.
No, absolutely. But it made up for everything that I did. I won, I don't know, back-to-back GPPs over on Fantasy Draft, of course, with my luck. That's where I was winning, was on the smaller side of all of them. So I wasn't getting paid a ton. But as light as I play, it made up for all of those 4 months and then some. And then, not only that, when I started off this season pretty hot, you know, first 2-3 weeks was just like, why am I so hot? Why is everything I'm touching working out? Why am I just feeling like a fantasy god right now? Well, that was still carryover from last year's losing, from last year's shit. That pendulum swung so far on the bad side that when it came back on the good side, it lasted through the off season. So it's just if I played a million slates and won 600,000 of them and lost 400,000 of them, I don't know when they're going to be winners and when they're going to be. I don't know how many in a row. I don't know when variance is going to swing the other way. All I know is it's gonna if I can last. And that's why you manage your bankroll, because you've got to last for that variance to swing back around. Because as long as your system is right, the players you're on are right, you're not doing, you know, stupid fundamental things like stacking three guys against your own pitcher, as long as you're not doing really, really dumb stuff, you're fine. You're going to swing back. You're going to get hot. You're going to catch fire, and you need to be there with a big wide net spread out still so that you can catch all that money that starts falling out of the sky.
Yep. And that's one of the big things with it is, you know, you really, really do have to. I've seen too many people quit and get hot. You know, and they're so close. Like, they're...
Have you ever heard that story of that guy that is digging for gold in the mountains and digs for years and years and years and years and years and hundreds of feet deep and says, ah, F it, I'm out of here. It doesn't work. My wife left me, my kids, you know, they've all grown up. They've disowned me. They think I'm a loser chasing a dream, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And then some other dude comes in like 6 weeks after the dude quit, digs for about a foot and hits the largest vein of gold in the United States.
Yep.
I mean, that's baseball variance. That you're either in this thing because you love the game and you love the hobby and you love the sport. Therefore, you're not going anywhere. So as long as you just balance, you know, your money and your bankroll correctly, you're fine. It may take a year. It may take next year. I don't know. I mean, I don't know when you're going to get hot. I promise you, you will.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely will.
You just got to keep your head screwed on straight, and baseball's the hardest sport to do it.
Yep, it sure is. Let's go ahead and try to get some people hot today. I know I'm looking to hopefully start that hot streak. Had a lot of good calls yesterday. Had a lot of bad calls yesterday as well. But you know, everything was looking great until Clayton Kershaw decided to lay an egg. We talked about it on the pod yesterday morning. It might be May 1st, but if there's a time to go against Clayton Kershaw, he's not what he is the beginning of the year, as he, you know, will be in June, July, August. The longer it goes in the season, the more he's going to absolutely just crush. So you've got to make sure that you kind of capitalize off of it. And then stupid me, I didn't have the...
You know, that used to be the September Martellus Bennett adage. You know, mm-hmm. It's awesome in September and then sucks the rest of the year. It's kind of the same in reverse. I saw an article last night that I retweeted out about Edwin Encarnacion. Apparently he's the opposite of that too. He sucks in April, May 1st hits, and the dude starts smashing.
Carlos Gonzalez is the same way.
So there you go. There's people like that.
Yeah, they just start off cold. And now it's not saying that, you know, Clayton Kershaw's good, or April and May is still really good. Don't get me wrong, but right. It's just not what he will be. So let's start off with the first game of the series of the night here: Toronto Blue Jays, New York Yankees. Matt Latos versus Masahiro Tanaka. It's as Al would like to call it, Tanaka Tuesday. we got a total of 9 here. Tanaka's a -192 favorite. I don't know whether or not to buy into this. I don't know whether or not to buy into Masahiro Tanaka, and I don't know whether or not to buy into this Blue Jays offense. But I actually think that because of what I'm thinking the Yankees ownership percentage is going to be in tournaments, I think I might actually just fade this game.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of the Yankees are in good spots. See, it's just more of a game theory type of.
Well, and I'm with you. I'm with you on the idea of all the question marks, because when I get into a situation like that, I generally don't. If I can't make up my mind, if there's not a clear, you know, good solid path to head down, I usually don't. As a cash gamer, I usually don't. I don't mess with it. It's too uncertain, and you know, Blue Jays heating up a little bit. Tanaka to me is not the safest pitcher on the slate, although he's tempting. He's a good one. You know, FanDuel is 8,800.
15 games. I'm out on Tanaka.
You might take him as an SP2 somewhere. I mean, the guy's got, you know, he's okay. He's got a huge Vegas support tonight. You know, he's a -200 favorite. That alone bears weight with me, but I look at other things. You know, his price is attractive, but then again, he's in Yankee Stadium. I mean, that's a hitter's ballpark.
Let me ask you a couple questions here, because you said about SP2. Masahiro Tanaka at 98, and this is DK, okay, as your SP2, because obviously you've got Chris Sale up at the top, okay, mm-hmm. or James Paxton against the Angels at home at 92.
The reason that's hard for me is because Toronto strikes out so much more than LA.
But they're not striking out recently.
Paxton has been balls fire. So, yeah, me, I'd probably go Paxton.
Tanaka or Quintana at 91 against Kansas City. In Kansas City. Tanaka or Irvin Santana.
That one's a lot tougher.
Tanaka or Irvin Santana against Oakland.
A lot tougher again.
Tanaka or Matt Moore at 82 against the Dodgers who can't hit lefties. Tanaka. This is Tanaka for you?
I just don't trust Matt Moore at all. I think the dude he just gets shelled. I mean, I know it's lefty Dodger. You know, Dodgers can't hit lefty. What
about? Can I tell you what Matt Moore's, and we'll talk about this, but can I tell you what Matt Moore's line against the Dodgers were the last time he faced them? And he's owned the Dodgers, uh-huh. by the way. Remember, it was last year that he almost basically no-hit them. He threw 7 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, which was a home run. That was the only earned run he allowed. 3 walks, 8 Ks, 7 ground ball outs in 104 pitches.
Well, and that sounds all pretty. That sounds pretty, but see, because me being the arrogant piece of shit that I am, when I say he's off my radar, he's never coming back to my radar. So when I say something like small sample size, that's really the fancy way of me putting my fingers in my ears and going la 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 la.
Okay, here you go. Masahiro Tanaka or Tyler Chatwood in San Diego against the Padres at 69.
I know these guys. I got Tanaka over all of them, and I know you're going to laugh at me, and on the score sheet at the end of the night, it might be right, but I look at the -200 from Vegas, and I know it's not the end-all be-all. I look at a decent K score between the two, being that Toronto does tend to strike out, and I'm looking at LA doesn't strike out. I know they strike out more than that, and Kansas City too. They're not at the bottom of the league in strikeouts anymore, but Oakland, whatever, they still, as teams, they generally don't strike out a lot. And
the Blue Jays right now, and to go to your point, the Blue Jays right now have the 10th highest opponent, or the 10th highest strikeout against the opponent's pitcher. Now, I'm not saying Snockle's not in a good spot. That's not what I'm trying to get. He's got.
I'd say he's in an okay spot. He just happens to be kind of cheap too.
They're striking out at 22.7% of the time. I think he's a better value on FanDuel than he is on DraftKings, if I'm not mistaken.
Probably.
Oh crap!
I'd still take Paxton over him, but of all the lists that you mentioned, that's probably the only one that is clear cut to me where I'd be like Paxton. The others, it's either a big debate or I'd still go Tanaka.
Okay. Let's see. Paxton is more expensive than Tanaka on FanDuel. Paxton's 93, Tanaka's 88. So, like I said,
okay.
Tanaka, you'd still go Paxton?
On FanDuel, I'd still go Paxton on FanDuel.
Okay. I think that I'm a little bit in the opposite direction in tournaments. I don't have any interest in Tanaka tonight, just because of the way, you know, the Blue Jays have kind of been hitting. They started to hit in that St. Louis series, and you know, the way they came out last night against Severino, this team's getting. I don't know if I can't say they've figured something out per se, but they're getting hot. They're seeing the ball better. And that's kind of something
it's just a time factor. We're a month into the season and they started off so shitty that they've got to bounce back somewhere.
There was no way to go but up. That's my whole thing. So let's talk about some.
And these hot offenses like Arizona are going to cool off at some point too.
Hey, now we expect it, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen. Let's talk about some bats here for the Yankees here. Hopefully Chase Headley's back in the lineup. I really like him. And then other than that, it's the same guys as normal. It's Castro, Gregorius, Judge, and Romine. So
that's a great little stack, that little 4-7. If it's me, I would also look a little bit into Brett Gardner. I think I had him marked down as having some decent history here. And I don't know, I didn't write his numbers down or anything. But, I mean, Latos is a target, and I think it's that Gardner hits righties well.
Yeah, he does. He's got
there's something there. He's a little pricey for what he's been giving you lately. But if you look at him on a last, say, week or two-week list of Yankees bats, and I know he had a monster game or two in there, and that's really what's doing, you know, what's tripping the numbers a little bit because – the other games have been pretty shitty. He's a GPP play because of that up and down nature. But, I mean, he's prone to have big games against soft right-handed pitching. And Matt Latos is about, well, on paper, should be the biggest target on the slate just about.
Yeah, one of. So the adjusted DFSA grade for the projected lineups of the Blue Jays, just kind of hammering the point of Masahiro Tanaka not being a bad play at all, is a 2.82.
Okay.
So that's actually the lowest on the slate as of right now. So just depending on – so keep in mind that these lineups that come out are definitely going to have a big impact in this. So, but, yeah, it's for me it's just more of an ownership play. I think that
that's,
the Yankees
that's something
stack is going to be pretty high.
That's something – oh, it will be, absolutely. There's that's something that VIPs need to pay attention to. Is as the lineups get locked in, the numbers in the lineups page change. It's a beautiful thing because if somebody's a monster like an Aaron Judge or somebody sits, all of a sudden it affects the Yankees' score and it affects the guys hitting around him a little bit too because, you know, we don't have that to rely on anymore. So at 3 p.m., a lot of this could change. And so it's important to lock your lineups in today or whatever, reserve your spots in your contest, but then come back and double check and make sure something didn't just completely erupt and switch a few things around. You may have a tiebreaker between this guy and this guy. And then all of a sudden one guy sits and you're like, oh, well, I got to go this guy. Well, be ready for that.
Yep. Which is why we put in the position tabs to this lineup sheet. It helps out when you're just going position by position. It's really
That's nice. Huge. That's absolutely huge. Don't build your lineups from the top down. Don't go catcher, first base, second base, whatever. But look at how deep the position is on the night.
Yep.
If it's got six or seven options at catcher, then you probably can be flexible and fill in your catcher a little bit later in your construction process because you got six or seven guys to choose from. Whereas if you've only got two, you might want to pick the best one and lock him in right now and then take your value elsewhere.
Unbelievable. It is 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. The FanDuel queue for the WFBC has already filled.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. They're the little mix-up slates that got same diff. It's so many either ravenous people or maybe it's just smaller slates in the beginning. They're filling like night before. So, yep. Anyway, not to derail the train.
Yeah, it's these guys, these things are crazy. They really,
you got any,
really are.
You got any interest, in any Blue Jay bats? Would you run because Tanaka and the Yankees ownership would be so high? You said you'd fade the game. Would you pick up any Blue Jays to capitalize on a game going maybe the other way?
Like maybe a Justin or Smoke.
Okay.
Justin Smoke would be the guy that I would probably have the most interest in.
So is it going just too far to take a Goins or somebody who had a good game, you know, a couple nights ago, or Travis, somebody down there has no ISO but gets on base sometimes, or a Joey Bats maybe bouncing out of his funk? Would you look into any of those guys, or are you pretty much just Smoke or fade the game?
I might, depending on where they are in the order.
Okay.
I might have a little bit of interest in them, but you know, it's right now it's Justin Smoke for me.
Good enough for me.
So let's go on to the next game here: Arizona Diamondbacks versus Washington Nationals. Tywin Walker versus Tanner Roark. We like playing Roark at home. Unfortunately, I don't think I can do it against these Diamondbacks on a 15-game slate. Also, unfortunately, the Diamondbacks or the Nationals have lost their prized center fielder Adam Eaton for the remainder of the season with a torn ACL. He's done, and yeah, that kind of changes the whole complexion of this lineup because now they're going to move Jason Worth up to the two hole. Michael Taylor is probably going to see the bulk of the time in center field. Thought for a minute they might throw out Trey Turner in center field and try to gather another shortstop, but I don't think they're going to mess with him. That changes a lot with this lineup. So this used to be a really good stack that we could run out like 1-4, 1-5. Mm-hmm. I don't think we can do that anymore. I think now you have to. Now you've got that little mini stack of Harper, Zimmerman, and Murphy. You could throw in Trey Turner and just skip Jason Worth completely. But understand and realize this: Jason Worth's going to see a lot more fastballs and a lot more hittable pitches because of the fact that he's now hitting again in front of Bryce Harper and behind Jason Worth or behind Jason or that. Damn, Trey Turner. So that DFSA grade with him is weird at a 9.48 adjusted, but it's not like, you know, that you got to understand that's him hitting towards the bottom of the order the full season. So
right. I don't want to pimp him too hard because he's opsing around 700. I mean, it's not like the guy – I mean, the guy is either long ball or sit down most of the time. However, he hits left-handed pitching well, and I know they're not facing lefty tonight, but he hits left-handed pitching well. So when you look for those spots and the two-hole in front of Harper and behind Turner, in front of Harper and Murphy and Zimmerman, come on. That's got to be the softest two-hole. They have to get that guy out when they see him. They have to – if he can work a count, you know, something 2-1, 3-1, for God's sakes, something in his favor, he's going to see dead red. And he's going to sit on it, and he's going to pound it a couple of times. So if he can get hot with his own swing in that spot, the guy can be a nice little value or a nice little, you know, spot in some tournaments to kind of complete a stack because he can do damage. Again, is he going to? Not a lot. But You get another at bat or two out of him on average this way in the two hole. I mean, I think the guy's got a value. He has value inside that lineup, but I think you need to use him very selectively.
Yeah, I think that, you know, he's a good addition to, you know, running your stack on DraftKings where you can have five. You know, I don't think I would play him on FanDuel where I've got, I can only use four of these guys because I can use Trey Turner. He takes an outfield spot, you know, whereas in the four-man stack only takes up one outfield spot. Now I'm taking up two, and now I'm either forfeiting, you know, Harper, Zimmerman, Murphy, or Trey Turner. Right. So,
well, there are so many – they're expensive. There are so many guys that I can get at Worth's price point that are hitting better on other teams. You know, your guys like your Inciarte, you know, guys like that that are just doing better right now. That's fine. But you're not going to get him at very high ownership. You shouldn't. It's not a chalky play. It's not going to be.
No,
but
it's not at all.
He's in a better spot than he was in the seven hole. And, you know, speaking of the seven hole, Michael Taylor's not terrible. I mean, he's not a good player, but in the last, say, week, he's had like 11 at bats. He's 5 for 11. He doesn't have a lot of power, but he might,
again,
you know,
that's causing
be another
me...
cheap. He might be another cheap addition. Nationals bats right now are cost prohibitive. To really load up on. So if you're going to take mini stacks, you take a high and a low. You take a high OBP guy that's in the middle of that mess with a Murphy or with a somebody else, and you kind of spread yourself out and you capture a little bit more exposure to the offense as a whole, which if they score 15 runs will help you. It won't if they score four, because you got to have the guys that did the damage. But if it scores 15 and everybody's in on the party, then yeah, I mean, that stuff helps.
Depending on what kind of value there is, I just put in on FanDuel just to kind of see where the prices would lead me. Tyler Chatwood, which is probably the lowest pitcher I would probably go. Although,
Can you see me shaking my head?
Edison Volquez is 6,500 going against Tampa. So that might be another one. But you go Zimmerman, Murphy, Turner, and Harper with Tyler Chatwood at 7,600, you're left with 24 per.
Yeah, that's rough.
So that's really rough if you go a full, you know, the full four-man stack. Now, is the upside there? Absolutely, especially with Taiwan Walker on the hill. But
just like all of baseball, it has to all hit the same night. That's all.
But I think that this is where instead of just fading it with like I plan on doing with the Yankees, I might grab a, you know, a Bryce Harper and a Daniel Murphy, and just get in and get out real quick, because after the Nationals put up 23 runs on Sunday, I think they're going to be higher owned again today, even on a 15 game slate.
How many people are going to point chase Anthony Rendon?
A lot, because he's still cheap. And I mean, he's 3,000 now. Could it backfire and he's not going to do what he did the other night. I can almost promise you.
No, but he could still have a good week.
Yeah.
You know, he could still have some good games this week. He could be getting hot. Who knows?
Yeah. I, on the other hand, would much, much rather go to the Diamondback side of things and try to grab some people there. and I am firmly looking at the top four of this lineup.
Yep.
Pollock, Peralta, Goldschmidt, Lamb, because not only do I have on base, but I also have speed and I also have power. But don't look now, Yasmani Tomas has two career hits against Roark. Both of them are dongs. So,
well, there you go.
Yep.
And I like the way he's hot. He's going to cool off. But I like the way Chris Owings has been playing lately. He's awfully pricey for a seven-hole guy. You know, the way he projects tonight, I'd rather them face a lefty and slide him up in the two.
That David Peralta is coming down. But
well, and that's what always happens. They flip-flop depending on handedness. But, I mean, if I look at the, you know, last week against right-handers, you know, for a hot hitter, Chris Owings is still, you know, his OBI ISO is 875.
Yeah.
You know, his he's opsing over 1,000. That hey, those guys hit my radar, and all I do is hope to keep riding the train. It's going to cool off. I'll get off of it when it, you know, when the numbers start backing down. But I mean, while the numbers are still up over 1,000 for OPS, I'm on a choo-choo. I'm on the train, you know?
Exactly. Cleveland Indians, Detroit Tigers, this totals an 8. We got Corey Kluber and Justin Verlander. Kluber's a minus 122 favorite. I think I'm off both of these pitchers completely.
Oh God, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Me too. I was really hoping you weren't going to put a hard sell on either of those two guys. It's not that they can't do great. It's that I don't feel it tonight.
I pay a little bit more attention to BVP. I'm a big BVP guy, but
I'm not saying they're
going to
get shelled.
Well, no, I pay a lot more attention to BVP inside a division because these guys see each other so much.
Yeah.
I will have a Indian stack and I will have a Tiger stack because both of these guys have had trouble against the other team. We just saw Verlander kind of get lit up against the Indians. A couple starts ago, he had a minus three.
You know how I remember that?
Because you were on Verlander that day?
I had Verlander that day. He was in one of my mix-up slates. I was like, Jesus, what'd I do?
Yep. Carlos Santana's 15 for 65 against Justin Verlander. 8 of those 15 hits. Ding dong!
There you go.
So I don't mind a... I think people are just going to kind of overlook this game. Just they're going to be like Kluber, Verlander, either that or they're going to play one of these two or, you know, whatever. Keep an eye out for Miguel Cabrera. He should be back in the lineup today. There's rumors that he's coming off the DL. So the Tyler Collins at the two-hole spot could end up changing. So make sure we pay attention to that coming into the lineups.
Good point.
Let's go on to Baltimore Orioles and Boston Red Sox. I don't know about you, but I was on Dylan Bundy last night. I talked myself into it, and it was more – it wasn't anything more than the DFSA grade and the fact that he's from Owosso, Oklahoma. That was my reasoning. He had a really high DFSA grade. I knew he was going to be low-owned going against the Red Sox.
That's awesome.
And it worked out. He allowed 2 runs. Now the problem was he hasn't been striking out a lot of Red Sox, and that's because the Red Sox don't strike out a lot. However,
I wasn't on him either. Every time I hear that town name though, I keep going back to whether it was like 16 Candles or one of those 80s movies, Fast Times, one of them where the little Chinese guy, oh, what's happening, hot stuff. I don't know why. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
I just have it's what always bounces into my head. I just see his little face and what's happening, hot stuff.
It's better anyway, than Ulaga.
You're right. There's no funny thing we can say about Ulaga.
Oh, there's a lot of funny things I can say about Ulaga.
Well, that's all local humor.
Mainly the fact that we have on our ambulance and our cop cars, the town name is spelled 2 different ways.
Yeah, that's
it's kind of funny. Wow. Anyways, let's get back to baseball.
That's a
here.
Lot funny. That's Alex, a lot funny.
Alec Asher, any interest here against this Red Sox?
No. the name hit it rang the bell, but I mean, no.
Just to let everybody know, Alec Asher right now in 63 major league innings has a 35.5 ground ball rate. That's one of the lowest on the slate. In fact, it's the second lowest on the slate, only lower than Justin Verlander. And a 43.6 fly ball rate. Now, the difference between Justin Verlander and Alec Asher is Verlander spots his ball a lot better, so he's a lot better at getting swinging strikes and stuff like that. Alec Asher does not. He only has a 7% swinging strike rate. So,
yeah, that's how he hit my radar. He hit name recognition as a target tonight.
Yeah.
I've got him and Latos as like my primary two targets. Now, I can't stand the way Boston's been inconsistent to start this season. But anyway, we'll talk about
that. Is this a stay away for Boston bats just because of how bad they've been?
I got a couple I'm watching. that I would take as one-offs. I'm not stacking Red Sox.
Okay.
I'm in love with Hanley Ramirez right now.
On the other side, Chris Sale is Chris Sale's a good play today, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. He's your chalk. He's your Kershaw today.
Yeah, Baltimore Orioles can't hit left-handed bats. Now I will have a little bit of Chris Sale or Baltimore Orioles exposure.
Just because maybe, you'll have so much Chris Sale.
Yeah. And probably in a queue. Mainly it'll be Mark Trumbo, Adam Jones.
Again, if you're going to run a Tanaka or you're going to run, you know, who a Kluber, who the hell ever, that's where you run it. It's in a single entry GPPs. You put Baltimore in there with another pitcher, and you just hope lightning strikes.
Yep. So they will. I will have a little mini stack in the WFBCQ. Just so all my opponents know that they could probably block
winner take all. If I was in a 100-man winner take all on DraftKings, which I can't stand that format personally, I think it's one of the fishiest formats there is. But if I was in it, that's where I'd put my Baltimore stack.
Yep. Other than that, yeah, Chris Sale's a pretty good play tonight. Tampa Bay Rays, Miami Marlins.
Virtual lock, which means he's going to get shelled. I mean, that's exactly how that works. But yeah, I like him.
Tampa Bay Rays, Miami Marlins here. We got Alex Cobb versus Edison Volquez. Volquez is a -129 favorite, and I'm not sure that I really like it. I think this is another chance we can get a Dick Dong. Corey Dickerson, Kevin Kiermaier, Brad Miller, Logan Morrison, I think are all really, really good plays today.
If you have the mini stack of Dickerson and Longoria, and they both hit one tonight, please, I beg of anybody listening to this, please tweet out the Longo Dick Dong. Because I'm telling you, you hashtag Longo Dick Dong, and oh my God, that's just the whole nature of the Dong. It's just funny to play with the names. Yeah. So I'm not playing with Dongs, don't get me wrong. I'm not playing with Dongs. I'm playing with the names.
I wonder if Ricky Weiss is going to be in this lineup. He's 7-for-19 with 2 home runs off of
the weak Dick Dong.
Oh my god, it's too fun.
It's too much fun.
Or the more weak Dick Dong. Jeez, Weiss.
Logo Longo Dick Dong. I mean, it just.
Oh yeah.
Whatever. Have fun with it.
Oh yeah.
I can be honest. I'm not on any of them in a 15-game slate.
I think they're one-offs. They're worth one-offs. I don't think it's with the way that Volquez has actually kind of pitched this year, and this ballpark being more of a pitcher-friendly ballpark and being 15 games, I think if there's some value that ends up opening up by somebody being at the top of the order or somebody having a good ISO versus right-handed pitching or a good history or something, then these are more one-offs than any sort of game stack.
Or, I agree.
Sorry, team stack. Now, on the other side, I have a lot of interest in these Marlins today.
They're dirt cheap.
Not only are they dirt cheap, but D. Gordon is running. He is running like Forrest Gump.
About time.
Yeah, no kidding. Martin Prado is still under 3K. Justin Bour's 3.1. Ozuna's 3.3. A lot of these guys are going to have interest in mind depending on where you're in the lineup.
Pardon me.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, I agree. And they're great one-offs. If you're running a Chris Sale, it's a good spot to come and grab a couple of those value bats. Now, it's going to cost you elsewhere because if you take Prado, it's third base. Well, third base is typically where a lot of your production comes from. So you're going to get, you know, you're going to sacrifice maybe some big bats or big names as a result of it. So you're going to have to make up for it elsewhere. But, yeah, you may have to do it. I mean, what's his price? 11.7. He's not too terrible, but it's still up there. You're going to have to find a value bat or two.
Yep, you sure are. Well, let's get to some of these value bats because there are some in this next game. Pittsburgh Pirates, Cincinnati Reds. Total is 8.5. 16-mile-an-hour winds blowing out to center field currently. So keep an eye on this. We talked about it yesterday. The wind was blowing out, and It did not work out. The game ended up, what, 4-3, I think, is what the final score was? Something like that, but not as high scoring as I expected it to be.
Harrison hit me, too. I know that.
Yeah, Harrison hit two. McCutchen hit one. Other than that, there wasn't really a lot of production throughout this Pittsburgh Pirates offense. Don't play Harrison today. Just don't do it. He was a play yesterday, not today. However, Josh Bell, Gregory Polanco, John Jaso, all in play for me. John Jaso is one of these value bats, especially if he's batting in this five hole. He's only 2.4K. However, that means that you're going to have to forfeit the playing of Josh Bell, who should be hitting in this two hole. This Pirates offense is not good. They really, really aren't right now, but there's some value there, and I think they're more one-offs than they are stack. Not saying that Scott Feldman's good, but anytime a team is in Great American Small Park, then, you know, we have to pay attention to them a little bit.
I agree. I think that people overvalue bad pitchers a lot and think automatically just stack against them, and then they get pissed when it doesn't work. I mean, not only do you want to stack against bad pitchers, you know, your Ashners, your Latos, you know, the other guys, but the fact is you need to be doing it with either a team or players that are going well. Because if I can't see if I'm not seeing the baseball well, my timing's messed up, my mechanics are a little bit off, dude, I can't hit, you know, a college pitcher. Yeah, it's just somebody, they're going to get me out. I need to be going well on top of it.
Yeah,
and exactly. Pittsburgh's not. Pittsburgh's just not. In spots, sure.
John Lester isn't on the hill today and they're not playing the Cubs, so we don't have to worry about stacking the Pittsburgh Pirates.
There you go. I'll tell you this. Scott Feldman's weak side is left bats. It's not because of the opposite thing. He's got numbers. I think his opponent's batting average from the left side of the plate is like .340 against him over the past couple of years. So yeah. Bottom line there is if you look for the mini stack of Polanco, Jaso, in that Bell order, that's about as deep. I mean, that's about as deep as I'm taking multiple Pittsburgh bats. I may have one here, one there in my other lineups, but if I put more than one, that would be it, and that'd be the only thing I did. So.
Yep, I agree.
And what do you like about the Reds?
That's what I was about to talk about. Billy Hamilton is running, and running a lot. I like the fact that they've now split him and Jose Peraza up, because now it allows Billy Hamilton to use his speed at the top of the order, and it allows Peraza to use his speed at the bottom of the order. Zach Cozart being in that two-hole, only 3K at shortstop, is a fantastic option today.
Yummy!
Tyler Glass now does not have the control that we saw in the minor leagues. In my opinion, he's got the Rick Ankiel syndrome currently, and he needs to get this right and, you know, get it going. Joey Votto, 4K, always an option on FanDuel. Adam Duvall, Eugenio Suarez, Scott Schebler. I like the top six in this Reds lineup again.
Yep, the three I've got in all caps are Schebler, Duvall, and Votto. They're all opting over 1,000 last week.
Yep.
Yeah, they're all opting over 1,000. That's a benchmark for watching them. The others, you know, need to be somewhere near 800 or so for me to watch. And Cozart in the two hole is just like one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in Great American Ballpark. I mean, the guy's going to get on base about 38% of the time, and he's got sneaky pop for a shortstop that nobody ever looks at. So you put him in front of a Votto or something like that, and you've got yourself one hell of a little mini stack today when there's a soft pitcher on the mound facing them in the band box that is Great American Ballpark. Is it going to work? No. Could they get shut out? Sure. But, I mean, odds are over a two-year sample, balls fly out of this ballpark like no other. So.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, not no other. We do have Coors, but I'm talking just it's a hitter's park, and it's a soft pitcher on the mound, and that's what we love to see.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, let's go to the Mets and Braves here. This total's 8.5, and welcome to one of the new hitters ballparks of the Major League Baseball. They quote unquote built this to be a neutral field, and
my ass.
So,
they want to build it to be a neutral field, turn it around so it faces into the wind.
Yeah. Well, then it would be a pitcher's ballpark. But don't tell me you built this to be a neutral field, because I don't believe you. Built this to play towards Freddie Freeman and future left-handed bats. So I like lefties here. We got Matt Harvey versus R.A. Dickey. Jay Bruce, Michael Conforto, who's probably one of the hottest hitters in baseball right now. He's in play. Now, here's the issue, is R.A. Dickey hasn't been bad this year. And he kind of has performed pretty well against the Mets. At least he did the last game. He likes facing his old team. Now, Asdrubal Cabrera does have 6 hits with 2 home runs against him. Other than that, it's pretty much it's Jay Bruce, Cabrera, and it's the top three of this Mets lineup.
Yep.
And that's pretty much it. So it looks like it looks like the way that the Mets have the lineup set up, the first 6 are going to be left-handed bats. We got Conforto, Cabrera, Bruce, Walker, Granderson, and Reyes. Of course,
Cabrera, a lot of teams do that.
Of course, Cabrera, Walker, and Reyes are all switch hitters. So,
hey, kid, down in Double-A Pawtucket, you're getting the call today. Get on the bus. Why? You're a lefty bat. We need something in the 7 hole.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, hey, Mom, I've got my call. I'm going to stay in the majors forever.
Yeah, I'm facing R.A. Dickey. I haven't seen a knuckleball since Babe Ruth ball.
I haven't seen a knuckleball since Grandpa threw the wiffle slitty at me.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I don't have any interest in R.A. Dickey here. I normally don't mind throwing him in a lineup or two, but not in this ballpark. Not with this many left-handed bats, not with the power all being towards lefties. I like the top 3 stack of Conforto, Cabrera, and Bruce. Conforto's 3.5K. We talked about Zach Cozart being in that 2-hole at 3K. Well, Asdrubal Cabrera is 2.9 in that 2-hole. So,
yeah, pick your poison.
Yeah, exactly. Jay Bruce, 3.7K.
Now, you know what would be fun? We haven't talked about this, but those mix-up slates, you know what would be fun? If you ran, well, I guess it doesn't matter. It's not position independent. So if we had a – never mind. Damn it. I was thinking that it would be kind of cute to run Conforto and Bruce and then Cozart.
Well, you could.
You could, but, I mean, on a mix-up slate, you need more consistent production than that with those 3 utility spots. I mean, you might get it out of this. It would allow you to probably pay up at pitching. But anyway, that's another story for a different day. I just – people need to think like that, though, when you see – I'm pigeonholed if I run Conforto, Cabrera, and Bruce. Yeah, if I swap that really shortstop out and take Cabrera and Cozart and flip them, I still got similar production. I'm not as concentrated. Therefore, you know, for like cash type lineups or small leagues, I can spread out a little bit with somebody in just as good a spot. I'm not quite so confined to that one stack that if the Mets do fall flat, I'm screwed.
Yeah, I haven't got really the hang of that mix-up slate yet. I've only played it twice, but I haven't
really kind of fun.
Hang of it.
We can talk about that if we have time, but anyway.
Braves.
Yeah, there's too many of them running too hot right now.
Okay.
And Harvey hasn't been
Harvey
outstanding.
I'm taking his last start and throwing it out the window in my mind, not in the numbers, but in my mind, because he was notified that morning that he would be starting that afternoon.
No, I get that. That messes pitchers up big time.
And that started the whole Noah Syndergaard drama that we've got going on right now. But I'm throwing that one out the window. I'm looking here. I believe it was against the Braves. It was. It was against the Braves. However,
that might skew what I saw in Freddie Freeman's BVP numbers a little bit then. You know, when you got a 20 at bat sample against somebody. And you had one big game the last time out, it takes bad BVP and makes it look like good BVP because it's such a small sample.
So yeah, you have to be able to dissect it. Yeah, he only had one hit, though. that game.
Okay, well, that's good then, because he's got solid BVP. I had him circled on my page.
Yeah, he's got one hit. He had one hit against in that game. So Freddie Freeman, Brandon Phillips, Matt Kemp, Nick Markakis, Ender Inciarte, all are very, very, very hot right now. So I'll keep
ride this train.
It didn't work out really last night because there wasn't as much production. Thank you, Brandon Phillips, for striking out with the bases loaded.
Isn't he nursing a groin issue of some kind?
I don't know, but he was cheap.
I've seen him listed day to day a couple of times. Well, he had monster BVP against the last like two of the last pitchers that he's faced last week, and I've been looking for a way to get him in there. But just like basketball, football, any of it, when a guy is day to day and he's nursing some kind of a nagging calf, hammy, groin, something like that, now you can tell me. In baseball, that has to take your power away when you get it from your lower half. So, I mean, depending on maybe what side, what thigh it is or whatever. But, I mean, to me, that's just a red flag immediately that this guy is not going to be hitting for as much pop as he typically would if he was healthy. So maybe I need to kind of shy away from giving that BVP too much credit in this spot. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I kind of...
Would you still roster a guy anyway that's nursing a groin if he has great BVP? I guess that's what I should have asked.
Part of a stack, maybe. But here, I mean... What's his BVP against Harvey here? Let's look.
I haven't looked at
it
Phillips.
Is he's 3-for-14, so today no.
Okay, but let's say he was 6-for-14 with a bomb.
No.
You know,
he'd have to have three or four.
What if he was 6-for-14 with two bombs or three bombs? I mean, because what I'm trying to get at is, does the groin suck away from the power enough, or a nagging injury of some kind suck away from the power enough that it would make you throw the power side of the BVP out of the window and say, okay, today it's just not going to really be the day. Because that's what it does. It makes me think, okay, if he's got a nagging injury, I need to, you know, take that into consideration when I'm looking at the BVP. Sure, he's got two homers against this guy in 10 at bats, but I mean, crap, he wasn't nursing an injury then, most likely. I mean, I don't know. That's when we get to overthinking things as DFS baseball players.
Well, I think it kind of depends on how it's really, really, really being viewed. If he's a part of a stack that is kind of nice, then, yeah, I don't really mind it. But is there another viable option within that team that has a stack? Like, you know, today I could go Inciarte, Freeman, Kemp, Markakis and just skip over him, you know. Mm-hmm. But if he's like the one that completes it, then I'll probably throw him in there more than likely.
Okay. Meaning if you had four guys and no fifth.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So that's probably where I'd be going there. Philadelphia Phillies, Chicago Cubs. We kind of talked about it a little bit. Yeah, no kidding. We kind of talked about it a little bit before the show, me and you. I'm arriving very, very late to the Philadelphia Phillies train. I think they're going to be contrarian today because John Lester is John Lester. He carries some name cachet. However, I think that I'm willing to possibly go there and have some fun. So
I don't mind them. I mean, at all. They're hitting well, and you know, it's Wrigley. What's the temperature supposed to be? The 49 worries me a little bit. The wind isn't blowing out like it was last night. I
so
was
are you
surprising
saying that this is a possible. I can gain an advantage by fading him. Because I'm going to be honest, besides maybe like, you know, a Michael Saunders or a Tommy Joseph in good spots, I haven't really played Phillies this year. And now all of a sudden I'm sitting here and I'm going, okay, Cesar Hernandez is 3.4, Herrera is 3.9, Franco's 3.3.
I don't think today's the day to go stack the shit out of him. That's what I'm saying. I think they're running good. I think that, you know, I don't, God, they feel awfully expensive to me, but that's going back on what, 3 years of DFS. I don't know. I would take guys that can steal bases if I was going to play them.
They can all steal bases.
You know, I mean, because we know about Lester's issues.
Yeah. I mean, that,
he doesn't hold runners on, but,
that would be where, you know, guys like Freddy Galvis,
Before the ivy greens up in Wrigley, I generally want to see the wind blowing out before I really get into Wrigley too much. It's cool. You know, when the wind blows cross or the wind blows in, it tends to be more of a pitcher's park than a hitter's park. You know, when the temperature's 49 degrees, you know, we know warm air fuels bats, cold air suppresses them a little bit. So, I mean, I could see you saying, no, you don't want to be on them because their prices are too high. I can see you saying you do want to be on them because they're running well and they should be contrarian because of Lester. So I can support either cause. I could be a Democrat or a Republican here.
I have a hot take.
All right.
I'm just going to fade the game again. I don't want anything to do with Lester. I don't want anything to do with Jeremy Hellickson. Mainly because Hellickson's been pitching well, and these Cubs bats are not producing like they were.
No, they're not.
2 weeks ago. So they're going to carry higher ownership, and I'm just willing to go ahead and say, you know what, forget it. I'll beat you other places on a 15-game slate.
Cool.
So that's kind of the easy decision I made. I've crossed – what, like four games off the slate so far?
Which, that's amazing for you.
Yeah.
That's my style. That's what I do. And yeah. I haven't crossed a lot of them off. I've got games I'm targeting, but you've crossed more off the slate than I have today. That's interesting.
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with just the matchups I don't like.
That's cool.
However, I do really like this next game. Let's get into it. Rangers and Astros. Cole Hamels versus Mike Fiers. I think this is a fantastic spot to stack the Astros.
Good. God love you again. Hamels is going to carry a little bit of, you know, name cachet, like you said, Lester will. And to be honest with you, he doesn't hit my radar. He doesn't grade out as anything but kind of middle of the road.
Oh, Cole Hamels is the highest rated grade on the DFSA grade today.
Wow. Okay. So what'd you do? Just tell yourself not to believe in your own product?
No, it's not that. I just believe in the ISO abilities of the Houston Astros.
Oh, now, sure.
Now, and this is, you know, as individuals, if we're sitting here, we're looking at it, and we look at the individuals, I mean, you've got Springer, who's got a 346 ISO versus left-handed pitching. Altuve's got a 273. Gattis has got a 455. You know, Marwin Gonzalez is in there at a 375. And that's just this season. You know, maybe it's just kind of depending on exactly what happens with the lineup.
The ones that are going hot right now, Gattis, for sure. And then the others that I'm looking for, recency, Springer, Gonzalez, McCann, and Altuve.
Yeah.
I'm not on the others. Correa's bad against left-handed bats, I think.
Yeah, he's got a 222 WOBA and a 0 ISO versus left-handed bats this year. That's the worst in the lineup if it was not for Yuli Gurriel, who's got a 115 WOBA with a...
Yeah, so today's not the day to play him either.
Yeah, no. So,
but, yeah, I like Houston.
Yeah, there's some options here. Maybe not as a stack, but maybe as one-offs or kind of a little mini stack where you're getting creative. I think that could be an option.
I'm not on Rangers, are you?
I've got a little bit of interest in a mini stack of Chu and Gomez. Maybe throwing a Ruggie Odor, who's got a 246 ISO versus right-handed pitching. Of course, Joey Gallo, we know, always got, you know, he's always got double dong light tower power, but
I feel like he's cooled off a little bit though.
He has. He really
has.
He's
just not as consistent as he was there for a week or so.
Yeah, that's why his grade has kind of gone down. Plus, he hits better at home than on the road.
Exactly. And therefore, at what, 3.7-ish? 3.5. He's down to 3.5 on FanDuel. that for a seven hole hitter at third base, that's just a little bit too high for me to dip into. I'd rather go find a three hole hitter somewhere for the similar price that's running better.
Yep. That's why I like Chu and Gomez. Now, the only thing I don't like about it is the fact that I'm taking up two outfield spots, and those outfield spots are kind of at a premium today. So, but a little mini stack against Byers, who we normally don't stack against, I don't mind that.
Cool.
Let's see here. Athletics and Twins. We got Sonny Gray versus Ervin Santana. Santana's a -124 favorite. We got an 8 total here. Any interest in Sonny Gray or Santana?
No.
I have a lot of interest in Ervin Santana just because of the way that he's been pitching so far this year. He has every start. Let me see here. He has.
Yeah, bear in mind when I say no, I don't mean the guy's going to get shelled. I just mean.
You don't have interest in him.
I just don't have interest.
I understand this. He's actually. These are his point totals this season. You ready for this? 46, 34, 61, 43, 3.
Yeah, that should get interest.
He has not pitched anything less than 6 innings all season. Now, with that said, this could be that day because the Oakland Athletics have some right-handed power. Jed Lowry, Ryan Healy, Chris Davis. I want right-handed power in this ballpark, and Trevor Plouffe as well. Oh, revenge, homecoming, whatever you want to call it. I have some interest in both Santana, and I know this is, you know, oh, I'm taking the easy way out. No, I have interest in I could see it going either way. I would not be shocked if it goes either way. I can see Santana throwing out 7 innings, 1-run ball with some strikeouts and getting the wind. Bless you. I could also see guys like Chris Davis, Ryan Healy, Jed Lowry, you know, absolutely just dinging him a couple times as well. I like him more as one-offs than I do as a full stack because I don't think that Santana's going to completely blow up, but I don't think that they're going to have the outcome of the St. Louis Cardinals did last night either, where they score 5 runs and 4 of them, or all 5 of them come off of home runs. So I'm not willing to go that deep in there.
Makes sense to me.
The Minnesota Twins here, I have interest. They're very cheap, and I have interest in a couple of these guys against Sonny Gray. First off, Brian Dozier. We've talked about it a lot. Me and Al talk about it all the time. I want right-handed power in this ballpark. Brian Dozier, Miguel Sano. Those are the two big ones that I want. And I will have a couple mini stacks with both of them going.
For me, Dozier's not seeing the ball well enough yet to pay that price.
Okay.
In tournaments, sure, but in stuff where you don't need to take quite the risk, I'll be on other second baseman. I don't see how you can't play Sano at this point. The dude is just continuing to be on fire. And my mini stack where you go Dozier Sano, I'd skip one more down and I would go Sano Vargas.
That's
only because he's so dirt ass cheap and he's actually carrying some on base percentage right now. He's not going to forever. The guy could go 0-for-4 with the best of them, but you got Sano and Vargas and Dozier too. But I mean, Sano and Vargas are seeing the ball better in my opinion, based on the last say week, 2 weeks numbers. And they both have double dong power too.
Yep. Sure do. I think that, you know, Sonny Green's got some, you know, name recognition
reverse
here.
Reverse splits, too.
But he's got some severe reverse splits. This is his first start of the season.
And nobody will see it.
Yeah, I think.
They'll see the righty, and they'll get off of the opposing righties, not realizing that that's actually his weakness.
Yeah, not only that, but he doesn't have any stats this season. So I think that's something that, you know.
Okay, so that's giving people too much credit for actually looking into historical numbers. But, I mean, if you played last year and you played the year before, you already kind of know that about Sonny Gray, I would think, that he can be a reverse splits guy.
Yeah, but on a 15-game slate, I think it's going to get overlooked.
I hope it does, because I really do think, like, I was on Jerko last night and it worked out late. It didn't work out in the first, say, four innings where, you know, you always look for your guys to get off to a good hot start, and he had BVP against the starter and you're like, where's my dong? God dang it. But at the same time, I've misplaced my dong again. But the whole point is with that him,
sounds like he got a personal problem for your wife.
Yeah. Well, there you go. better for her than for me. Right. It's one of those things that he got his homers late, and that was great. He got two of them, blah, blah, blah. At 3K, he was a very, very value-loaded third baseman, given the situation, given the weather, given the BVP, given the way he's running lately, all that shit. I see Sano in the same spot today. I'm not saying he's going double dong, but I'm saying that he's in a very good spot to be highly productive.
I can see that. I love Sano today. I think he is an absolute just fantastic play.
He's going to be the third baseman I have the hardest time keeping out of every lineup I build, because that's where I'm going to start with a lot of them.
Yeah, I think that's a good spot to start with them. I really do.
Surround him with Vargas. You can surround him with, I don't know.
Although, let's get to another one here that is going to take a little bit of game theory. Milwaukee Brewers, St. Louis Cardinals, Wily Peralta versus Carlos Martinez. I'll let you start it off with your boys.
I'm a pretty half glass half full guy.
Except for when it comes to the Cardinals.
In life, exactly. In life, except when it comes to the Cardinals, I'm very glass half empty. I love my Cardinals, don't get me wrong. I don't trust any of their pitchers right now. And the reason I don't trust their pitchers, well, you can say Martinez has been a little waffly lately, up and down, but I don't trust my pitchers because of the defense behind them and their inability to save their pitcher when he falls down a little bit and bail him out of some innings with some big plays. They don't have range. They don't have the ability to even throw the damn ball to first base right now without throwing it into the dugout sometimes. So, and that gets into a pitcher's head, makes him feel like he should be out of the inning. Oh, screw you, screw me, screw the world. And then they're not locked in like they should be. And Carlos Martinez is, you know, an emotional guy, and he's prone to Keith-like monkey tilt. So when it comes to me, I just don't trust him. Can he have a great game? Hell yeah. Look at his opening day this year, whatever. I mean, but I just, against such a power hitting team.
Eight walks and 11 strikeout game.
Against the Brewers that are hitting for such power this year, man, it just feels like such a risk at that price point. It's high upside, but I think that it's a small percentage you're going to capture that high upside. I think that it's got more doom than, you know, than boom to it. But so I'm not saying stack up the Milwaukee Brewers either, unless you can find history on them, because they're all hitting the ball really, really well. They're definitely playable. We know Martinez can shut them down though too. So I wouldn't do it like all over the place, like my favorite stack of the night. And then Cardinals, the bats are streaky. They can run hot. They can run cold. There's three or four of them in there right now that are running really well, and you need some exposure to them. But, you know, I mean, that's an roundabout shotgun approach to that game. I'm not going to say no if you say you want to roster a bunch of them. I'm going to say temper your expectations on all of them.
I will continue to target Wily Peralta, even though he's shown the ability to have more depth and movement and velocity on his pitches this year.
Who are you targeting with?
Matt Carpenter, Jed Jerko, Aledmys Diaz, and Dexter Fowler.
Okay. Dex let me down last night. Dex has been hitting the ball really well last week, really seeing the ball well.
Didn't he put a couple in play that were kind of right at some people? I haven't watched his at-bats yet.
I happened to be up and down out of the chair last night, so I didn't see his at-bats. I can't say. Somebody did crush a couple to the track. I don't know if it was him.
So I'll have to go back and watch these at-bats.
I almost tweeted one out when I saw it, but I didn't see who the bat was. I will say this. Carpenter owns Peralta.
Yes, he's got almost a 500 average against him with some.
He's one of the few, believe it or not. If you go looking at BVP, a lot of the guys don't have phenomenal. They've got, you know, slightly below good numbers. Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, 500 ISOs, or not 500 ISOs, 500, 600 OPSs. Not great. They've hit it when they hit him, you know, hard over the fence. But I don't know. Karp owns him. Jerko's hot. Jerko, in a very, very small sample size, has a bomb off of him. So those would be the two I'd focus on. The other guys, I might fill around them a little bit. Again, mix up slate tip. You want to go with some, you know, decent pitching and then stack Cardinals and their like single entry mix up slate thing. I mean, yeah, you throw three Cardinals in there, Jerko, Carpenter and Fowler or something like that. You could have yourself a hell of a day.
Yeah, I would, if I had to just limit it to three, I'd probably cut out Fowler.
But you're incredibly concentrated doing that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You're hoping that it goes off. The only time I would probably do that in the mix-up slate is if it was Coors Field and just go boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, but they never will do that with you.
I don't think they do. So I don't know, but
I'm seeing, I do see a lot of three-player stacks, which is interesting. I see a lot of two-and-ones. And so whereas I might try to look for Harper, Goldschmidt, Freddie Freeman type stuff to spread it out and hit a bunch of first basemen hard. That's my free tip to you. What I'm noticing is a lot of two-and-one stacks, two Yankees and a one-off, two Diamondbacks and a one-off,
yeah,
that kind of stuff. And I think that's very smart. I think it's a very smart way to play that slate. I don't see a lot of the three all-in-one, you know, Yankee, Yankee, Yankee type stuff, mm-hmm. but I do see it. And usually when I see it, it's because it's above me on the leaderboard because it hit.
Yep.
And when it hit,
we know how volatile that Carlos Martinez can be ever since he got the new hairdo. He kind of hasn't been the same hitcher. It's like the dreads are too tight.
That's the local. That's the local bitch, is that he got his hair extensions and he went to shit. Even my wife is sitting over there thinking to herself, Carlos Martinez.
Well, they're different colors every single time.
Yeah.
They were like gray one time, then they were pink, and then I don't know.
I think he thinks his shit don't stink right now. He thinks he's the ace, and he hasn't.
Well, he kind of is the ace.
Just like the first year or two, it took him to break into the league, get control, you know, back off his fastball a little bit to rely on a little bit more movement. Then he figured it out last year. Then he got rewarded with a contract. Then he got, you know, anointed the ace. Next thing you know, I think he's back in his head thinking his shit don't stink. And mentally, I just think the kid needs to get control of those emotions, back it off a little bit, and then realize that I need to get back to what was working really well last year. And if he does, I think he's lights out.
Yeah. And he's had some good starts against the Milwaukee Brewers, but he's also been lit up against them at times as well. So, mm-hmm.
Not safe. Not safe for cash.
Yeah, definitely not safe for cash. I actually don't like him here. He's got the ability to kill me. But with the way the Brewers bat, and maybe that's the perfect qualifier play, especially if it turns out he's going to be like 2 or 3% owned, is to throw him in a lineup with some Orioles. And pray to the gods.
That's a queue winner.
Yeah,
it's. I mean, and how often do you win a queue? About as often as a play like that's going to come through.
Yeah,
you know, but that's why you do it.
I bubble queues more often than win them. But
I'm going to hashtag bubble bitch you a few times. It's funny.
Oh my god, I can't. I've lost track of how many bubbles, either second or third place finishes. I've lost track of how many top 10 finishes and top 5 finishes I've had in baseball just because of stupid stuff. Like, I would have won, I think, 4 Qs last season if it wasn't for, like, runs scored in Los Angeles off of an error. Just stupid stuff like that. So, It's kind of one of those things that, yeah, that's probably kind of the way I'm leaning. I would not be surprised if he gets shelled either, unfortunately.
I wouldn't be surprised if this game went 4-1. I wouldn't be surprised if this game went 10-8.
Oh, God, I hope it doesn't go 10-8 because I won't have that much exposure to it.
I don't know what we're going to get out of it.
Chicago White Sox, Kansas City Royals, Jose Quintana, Danny Duffy. Any interest in the pitchers here?
Usually I do have interest in both those names, but not today.
Yeah, I usually do too. I love playing me some Jose Quintana, except he hasn't looked good this year. I think all this contract and trade talk is getting in his head a little bit. I'm just kind of willing to go away from it. The Royals showed some signs of life last night.
Wind was blowing out.
Yeah, but I'm not willing to go there. This is actually the lowest total that that Kauffman Stadium has had this season. Normally it's been at an 8 all year. Now it's at a 7.5, and I think it has to do with a lot of the pitchers. But neither one of these teams strike out a lot. So maybe
I'd be tempted to bet the over on this if I was a betting guy. Not because it's going to go for 15 runs, but because I don't see it going for 7.
Well, 7.5. So I need a 5-3 or a 4-4 game.
Well, 8 wins me money. That's what I'm saying. I don't see it going for 7. I think there'll be some runs scored here. I don't know by who. I don't know how. I don't think it's going to be by a lot of home runs.
I'm actually might have a little bit of interest in Jose Quintana here. The Royals are striking out at almost at over 23% of the time versus left-handed pitching this season so far.
Okay.
So that might be a little bit of a sneaky tournament play. Other than that, I don't have any really interest in any bats or anything like that.
Nope.
I mean, this game, like I said, is pretty much a fadeaway. I've kind of narrowed this slate down to the games I like, and I'm going to attack it with extreme prejudice.
I would only look at it since it's on a smaller slate like the Express or Late Night or whatever. Yeah, I won't look at it on the main.
Yeah, exactly. San Francisco Giants, Los Angeles Dodgers, Matt Moore and Alex Wood. Alex Wood is somehow a -161 favorite. I don't understand that. I don't get it.
Either.
I don't agree with it. I love Matt Moore tonight.
Okay.
If you look at his history against the Dodgers since coming over to the Giants, he has owned them. We talk about BVP all the time. Well, I'm talking about PVB here. he almost threw a no-hitter against him in Dodger Stadium last season. He pretty much he threw a gem against them his last start out, I believe it was. Maybe it was 2 starts ago. I'm looking here. His last start, 7 innings, 2 hits, 3 walks, 1 home run. 8 Ks, yeah. I target left-handed pitchers against the Dodgers. They still have yet to figure out how to hit left-handed pitching. And until they do, I'm going to keep targeting them.
Sounds like the Cardinals.
I mean,
they're the same.
Unless it's
Kershaw.
Not every team can beat the Rockies and actually learn how to hit left-handed pitching over the course of the season.
Well, I'm not going to fault you. You've got the numbers. I'm going to be like you and the Philadelphia Phillies in that I'm not a believer yet.
And Matt Moore?
You know, not yet. Not against the Dodgers yet or, you know, in general yet. We'll see.
I
haven't
looked
specifically. It's anti-Dodgers.
Yes, exactly.
And I haven't looked specifically at how he pitches the Dodgers, and I probably, unless I get it pointed out by somebody like you, so that's awesome for people listening, because I guarantee you, if I'm not digging that deeply into it to find that stuff, most people aren't either, and that's where that tip comes in. Now you're going to make me look at Matt Moore's numbers and look and evaluate them myself, and then maybe I jump on the train when he pitches against the Dodgers. And for that, thank you. But I'm not on the train yet. I haven't looked at it and seen it yet. I'm just listening to what you've told me. Basically for the first time today that he owns the Dodgers. I had never seen it. I've never noticed.
Yeah, he's had some good numbers there.
My research, shocker people, my research doesn't go super deep.
Well, I don't think it's not that it goes super deep. I just don't think that it goes, it gets specifically into, you know,
I don't dive into a lot of person-to-person matchups, and I don't look at a lot of the numbers that you and a lot of other people look at. I look very much at Vegas. I look very much at long-term baseline numbers, and then I look at a little bit of recency at who's going well according to their baseline and who's not. And I stay off those who aren't, and I get on those who are, and I close my eyes and go watch television. And I mean, it works for me, so I'm not going to change. Could I be a better DFS player if I dug even deeper? Sure. Could that lead me down rabbit holes where I'm overthinking the crap out of myself and it makes me worse? Maybe. I just do it my way because I've got a wife and three kids, and you know, that's just, you do what you do.
Exactly. So
anyway, I'll look at Matt Moore because of what you said.
Yeah, there's definitely something there to be said. I don't know. It's kind of just one of those things. Like, I don't have any problems going to Matt Moore here. I think it's a great, great option. As far as bats, I mean,
I think it's going to be low-owned as hell.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it depends on the lineup that pops out here. I think that I honestly do think that a guy like Christian Arroyo at 2.4K, who has shown some early season ownage of Clayton Kershaw, early career ownage, I might say, of Clayton Kershaw, is something that might be worth looking into. He's got some pretty good numbers so far. He's only 2.4K. Now, yes, he's third base. You're going to have to sacrifice, but I think it's a good option. So
Arroyo or Prado?
Are we assuming they're both in the two hole?
Yes.
Probably.
Because those are the two punts we've mentioned at third base today.
Yeah, probably Prado. Unless I'm going with a sale and I need
that more extra value. 400 or whatever.
Yeah, I need that extra $500, then it'd probably be Arroyo.
Cool.
So, Colorado Rockies, San Diego Padres, totals to 7.5. This is basically even money. Tyler Chatwood, Trevor Cahill. I don't love him as much as I do Matt Moore, but I still do really like Tyler Chatwood. He pitches infinitely better on the road than he does at home. Obviously, a shocker, you know, Colorado Rockies pitcher pitches better on the road in pitchers' ballparks than he does in the best hitting environment in baseball.
Captain Obvious.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't know what to do with this Rockies offense, though. I want to attack Trevor Cahill. I'm just not sure where. I think Tyler Chatwood's a great tournament play. He's probably about the lowest I would go on FanDuel or DraftKings for that matter. I just don't know what to do with the rest of these guys. Right. Charlie Blackman's 6-for-12. I mean, there's not any significant BVP here. I know one of these Rockies hitters absolutely just kills in Petco. I have not looked into who it is yet, so I can't give that to you right now. But I know one of them absolutely. He's got almost close to a 400 average in this ballpark. I want
that's
to say,
in the division, so that's got a sample to it.
Yeah, I want to say it's DJ LeMahieu, but I'm not quite 100% positive on that one.
Makes sense. That actually makes sense.
Yeah,
somebody that hits, you know, warning track power that hits it into cavernous gaps. I mean, you're not going to find any more cavernous gaps than at Petco.
Well,
or AT&T, Coors, but
ball
just
exactly.
Yeah.
I will have a Rocky stack. But, you know, it's not – it's more because this is one of the best offenses in baseball, and they've got Ian Desmond back now. It's a team that even on the road can blow up for 9-10 runs any given day. And you're going to find them extremely lower owned on the road than you are at home. Mm-hmm. So I will have some exposure to the Rockies bats, but I can't really nail down exactly where I want exposure yet. The main reason is because, you know, you've got Carlos Gonzalez at 2.8K. You've got, you know, Ian Desmond at 3K. You've got Trevor Story, who's starting to come out of his funk a little bit at 3.5. Charlie Blackman's 3.8. So, you know, Nolan's 4.3. Some of these guys are cheap. Some of these guys are expensive.
Not as expensive as they could be, though. Oh, I mean, they're exactly. cheap for Rockies. They're each individual's not, price is down.
Yeah, they're not as expensive as they will be here in about a month.
Right.
And I'm even talking about being on the road.
Question is, do you want to get on the train before it leaves the station, or do you want to let it pull out a little bit before you jump on? So, I mean, I know you. I'm just the general person. I'm not on the game personally.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. This is a tournament play only, and I'm not even saying, you know, this is a full stack. This might be like a mini stack of a, you know, right. a Nolan and Cargo, or right. a depending on where Ian Desmond is in the lineup. You know, if he's in that five hole, a Cargo and Desmond, or a DJ and Nolan, or you know, something like that. Just sure. kind of like little mini stacks or anything like that, kind of sprinkled throughout your lineups, but. If you just kind of play Tyler Chatwood and go on from there, I don't mind it at all either. So
there you go.
I'm not kind of on any of these Padres bats.
No, me either.
There's just Will Myers 4.2K at first base.
Oh, I got better first baseman to pick from.
Exactly. Not better as far as talent. He can still obviously be right. one of the top
just
first basemen.
Going better.
Just going better,
right now, facing softer pitchers
and better environments and stuff like that. So yep. maybe in a tournament, mini stacks, like I said, but it would be a Myers and Solarte, and that would be it. So, trying to look and see here any of these numbers are significant. Will Myers is 5-for-13 with 2 dongs off of Chatwood, so. Maybe it's a one-off of Myers and get in and get out.
It also could be a late slate play.
Yeah, there you go, absolutely. Los Angeles Angels, Seattle Mariners, Shoemaker and Paxton. We talked about Paxton. He's a 144 favorite. This total's a 7. I think Paxton's your late-night chalk.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So
of the last 2 games or 3 games, sure.
Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz, Kyle Seager have all got Mr. Shoemaker twice, all under 26 at bats. They all have an ISO of at least 230 against them with a WOBA of at least 345.
So tells me Shoemaker's in for a trouble.
Yep, there's your nice little stack right there because that's your 3, 4, 5 hitters.
That's going to be your low-owned GPP stack on the main slate.
Ooh, write this down here.
Based on everything that we've talked about and all the brand names that are playing elsewhere, Seattle. This is the one that might get forgotten about because it's at the very caboose of the train. And, you know, I mean, it's just people, they're going to look to Paxton. They're not going to look necessarily to, they may grab a Segura, they may grab a something like that, but I don't think they're going to, you know, stack the lineup.
You know what you do? You play Paxton with those three on FanDuel.
Uh-huh.
And there's your four. There's your stack it. With your pitcher in there. So, yeah.
And it's got just as much potential to do very well for you tonight as anything else we've mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And based on those numbers, better than because we know Shoemaker can look like Cy Young, and he can Cy Young's the all-time winningest pitcher in baseball. It can look like Cy Young. On the flip side of that, he can look like Cy Young, who's also the all-time losingest pitcher in baseball. So. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you mean. That is... God. To play Cy Young in DFS. You want to talk about some ultimate game theory. That would have been... that definitely would have been... You know, worth a thing or two. So... How about Angels here?
they didn't hit my radar, but I mean, Trout's as consistent as it gets.
Pujols has gotten, you know, Paxton twice, but it's not like but it's only, you know, he's 4 for 20 off of them.
I'd probably rather play Will Myers.
Yeah, exactly. It's just kind of one of those things that you're sitting there looking at. So, let's see here. DJ LeMahieu has a 300 batting average in Petco. So there you go. That's pretty much it. I think that we kind of covered it pretty quickly today. So, any bits of advice that we maybe missed over?
Yes, join DFSArmy.com, become a VIP, and learn how to build better lineups for yourself.
There you go. I can't compete with that. So that's going to do it for us today. Make sure you check in a little bit later for the Boomers Bombers, and we will get you all set up for Chop and the DFS Army. We out.
All right. Good times.